we're talking about today is God's partnership program. The partnership program that God has had, He instituted this from the beginning of time. From the beginning of creation, when He first created everything, His plan was to partner. It's called in the Bible a covenant. A covenant is like a pact, a promise. It's two sides coming together and making a promise, making an agreement. You could think of it like a contractual obligation where one party has to live up to certain points. The other party has to live up to the points. If both live up to that, then the contract is fulfilled. And if one party fails, then the contract usually fails too. If it's a contractual agreement, of course, that you're filling out, you know, like you can go to court and you can get all nasty with people and talk about, oh, you broke the contract, you know. Another good example of a contractual agreement or a covenant, you could think of a marriage. You know, when you do a marriage, it's two people, they're agreeing to certain things. This morning, I did a wedding here. And in that, they had to agree to certain things. Do you agree to love, honor, cherish, till death do you part? I do. So they made an agreement, a covenant, and then the other person said, I do to the same things. And so those two people made that agreement together. And so now they've got to live up to that. They have to fulfill those obligations. Let's say one of them wasn't taking it too seriously. Let's say one of them wasn't really thinking about it at all, and they just were having fun. Hey, this is kind of cool. I haven't done this before. It wouldn't hold water, right? It wouldn't last. Because we need to have that agreement. It has to be a commitment. Now, so God has been creating covenants since the very beginning. He has been partnering with people. God partnering with people. Sometimes people think about God as being out there, distant, way off there, somewhere else. He's far from me. But the truth is, God is never far from you. God has always been creating partnerships and coming together. So let's start thinking about that. You know, partnerships are very important in the kingdom of God. If you can start to understand the significance of the covenant with God, you can start to have all the things that God promised. You just have to know how this covenant works. Another way to think about the covenant, Native Americans do something that's interesting. They have this thing where they do blood brothers. You ever heard about that? Often, you know, I see it on TV. I've never seen it in real life, but they'll cut themselves, you know, and then they, you know, share the blood, and now they're blood brothers. They just made a pact. They made a promise. They made an agreement. We're gonna watch out for one another. We're gonna take care of one another. We're part of the same family now, and we're watching out. In a way, you're doing the same thing with God, because a covenant with God always requires blood. Yeah. Oh, don't worry. Don't get your knives out just yet. Wait. Let me finish. But yeah, it requires blood. In the old days, ancient times, they were always sacrificing animals. And let's talk about a covenant. Let's put one here in context. Now, this was a covenant that God created with Noah. This was after the flood. Remember Noah? Let me kind of catch you up to date a little bit. Noah was that guy who heard from God. God said, you know, the earth is going to be flooded, and I want you to build this boat and put some animals on there two by two, and then, you know, take your family in there, and then when it's over, I'll bring you out. And so Noah was really good. He followed everything God said. So here, Noah has a covenant with God. Now, when he gets off the ark, here's what it says. And this is in Genesis chapter 9, and we're reading at verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all the flesh be cut off by the water of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." So God is creating a covenant not only with Noah, but all of the earth. Everything upon the earth, he says, it will not ever be destroyed by flood. I'm going to protect it from that happening again. I'm making it a promise with you. I'm making an agreement with you. Do we have a partnership? Do you like that? If you partner with me, I can say for sure that you're never going to get flooded. There will not be a flood that will destroy the whole earth. Do you like that agreement? Nod your head if you like that agreement. I want to see some head nodding there a little bit, because I want you to know that's not a bad deal. I kind of liked it. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign, be for us the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Anybody ever seen a rainbow? You ever seen a rainbow? That's the sign for this covenant that God made with Noah. God made this agreement. He made this partnership with him. And so there, and to live up to that, what Noah often had to do, there were things that Noah had to do. Noah was doing sacrifices. He had to build an altar, and he would sacrifice animals. And there was various different animals. There were rams, and there were sheep, and there were bulls, and there were goats, and there were birds, you know, there were turtle doves and pigeons, you know, and there were all kinds of different animals that were sacrificed. So there's always that blood. The blood covenant that was involved in that. So this agreement, this bond was being created. So the unbreakable bond, two sides making a promise saying, "This is what I will do. This is what I will do." Now, Noah had things to do too. It wouldn't work very well in a marriage if only one partner said, "I do." And then I come over to another partner and, you know, I'm waiting there for it. Are they going to say, "I do"? I hope they do. Because if they say, "I don't," if they say, "I don't," that's it. It's kind of ruined for me as I'm trying to conduct this ceremony. I do, I don't. That you can't have those two. Yeah, that would be a disaster, wouldn't it? You can't have those two. They both have to say, "I do," right? And that's the same with God. Because God, now check this out. God is always saying, "I do." In fact, God is saying, "I did." Because God has already fulfilled everything. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on you. If you're feeling like, "Man, I don't have a partnership with God yet. Why don't I have an agreement, I need some sort of covenant with God so I know there's some sort of, you know, promise in there that I know we're working together. Why don't I have that yet?" Well, if you don't have it yet, guess what? It's not God, because he's already done, prepared, provided, and is waiting to have that partnership with us. He wants to have a partnership with each one of you. There's no question. He wants to partner with you, just like he partnered with Noah to protect. But as I said, it's up to us. There's stuff we have to do. We have to say, "I do." We have to say, "I do." And we can't say, "I do today," and then say, "I don't tomorrow." You know, because that's kind of wishy-washy. You know, you wouldn't want to be married to someone like that, would you? Who says, "I do today," and then says, "I don't tomorrow." Or, "Hey, I'm with you 100%. And then tomorrow goes, "I'm not with you. Don't look at me." You know, you want the person that's really committed so that when you go to work, you know, "All right, they got my back." And that's what God is. He's always saying, "I got it. I got it." I love this. I had a session with someone earlier in the week, and they were trying to do all this stuff themselves. You know, in a way, they were playing God. They didn't see themselves as playing God, but they wanted to try to fix and take care of everything. And what God told them as they were talking to God, God says, "I got this. I got it." So that they would understand they didn't have to do everything. They could partner with God, let him take care of some. He's going to still work through them. There's still stuff he's going to say and have them do. But they have to say, "I do. I do." That's why we talked about, over the last few weeks, changing our life and some practical steps, because there's things we have to do. We have to do things to change our life. If we just keep sitting on the sofa, it doesn't change. We have to do something. "I do." And so God has said, "I do" already. It's up to you now to say, "I do." These covenants are unbreakable in God's eyes. He doesn't ever break them. He will never break it, ever, ever, ever. That's why I like when we see the rainbow. You can know that every time you see that rainbow, that covenant, that agreement, that partnership that he made with Noah is still in effect. we will never be flooded. He will protect us from the world from being flooded and destroyed. We're protected from that, so we don't have to worry at all. Partnerships are so important. Now, in a partnership, we also get to share. We get to share what the other person has. Let's think about that wedding analogy again. Before you're married, you probably both have your own bank account. You probably both have your own place where you're living. You know, you have, you know, separate lives, really, in a way. Maybe you go out and you date, and so you see each other together once in a while. But for the most part, everything is separate. But now, once you say, "I do," you no longer have a separate place. You now have one place. You live together. You no longer have separate checking accounts. Everything is now put together. You have one bank account that you're sharing. You don't make decisions on your own anymore when there's big decisions. Small decisions, sure. You know, you don't need to get validation that you're going to the bathroom or anything. That's okay. You know, but the big decisions, the important stuff in life, you have someone now to talk it over with. You can strategize and ask, "What do you think? I was thinking of doing this. Does that work for you? Is that okay with you? Are you willing to work with me on that?" And so you bring everything together as one. You don't have separate lives. You don't go off doing things by yourself, or, you know, now you're working together with your partner. Same thing with God. We want to be working together in that covenant. And you're bringing different resources. You know, if your bank account had something in it and your partner's bank account didn't, then you bring it together. You have more in your bank account, right? Same thing is happening with God. God has infinite resources. I've got $2. We come together in partnership. Guess what? I've got infinite resources and $2. Yes, amen to that. So, he's got the power over sickness, that we can be healthy. He's got infinite strength and energy, which means that when we bring that together, if I'm kind of sluggish, I have infinite energy and strength. I have health. We bring those two together when we partner. See, you get to share in the resources of the other person that you have partnered with. In this case, since we're talking about partnering, creating a covenant with God, we have all of his resources. He has supernatural power which can protect you, take care of you. I want to partner with that. I want to partner with that and have that in my life. If I say I do, though, today, and I say I don't tomorrow, and I'm not fully committed, I can't utilize the resources that God has. Because today I'd like to be with him, tomorrow I don't. I have the resources, I don't have the resources. It's not God that's going, "You want the resource? No, no, you can't have the resources. You want the resource? No, you're not going to have the resource." No, God's not doing that. God's not like that. God, he has given them, it's given, that's it. And he's already given you everything that he's got. He's already laid it out there. And now it's for us to say, "I do today and I do tomorrow and I make a commitment. I'm going to do this, you know, forever. I'm going to do that." Why? Because I want to have the power. I want to have the health. I want to have the infinite resources. I want to have the blessing of God. I want to have a great life. Say amen to this.
Amen.
If you want to have a great life, say amen to this. Because God wants us to have a great life. But we got to make that commitment. We have to make that covenant. Now, notice when I was talking about the offerings, those sacrifices that God was giving, we need to be making a sacrifice or a commitment to give to God as well if we want to partner with him. We have to give him what we've got. It wouldn't be very fair if you were in a marriage and your partner says, after you're married, "Okay, well, you give me all your stuff, you know, because we're going to share that. But I'm going to leave all my stuff over here. I don't want you to touch any of my things." That wouldn't be very fair, would it? If you gave all your resources, but they didn't give theirs. But some people are like that, though. God says, "You can have everything of my kingdom. It's yours if we create this covenant." And then they're like, well, God, I want to keep this car and my money. I want it to be separate. I'll keep it in my bank account. I don't want to mix it with yours. I'd love to use your stuff, you know, but my stuff, I just want to keep it over here. And we forget that, no, that doesn't work. We've got to completely create that covenant. And so that's when we're talking about when we're giving an offering. Noah was giving an offering, and it wasn't, he was bringing the best of what he had. He was bringing this animal without blemish. It was perfect. He would bring it up to the altar, and he was like, God, we've created this partnership. You know, we have this covenant. We're together. This is the best I've got. I give it to you. I give it to you. So he's given the best of what he's got. And that's the same. We need to look at that too. Because God wants to create that partnership with us. We got to bring the best that we got and give to God. Don't hold stuff back. It wouldn't be fair. If he's given us everything, why are we holding stuff back? And in giving that tithe, you're saying, when you give that offer, you're saying, I give you everything. Because 10% in the spiritual represents all. It represents everything. So when you give that, you're saying, I give you everything, God. I'm completely committed. I do. So God is big on these partnerships. He really is. Look here. He created this covenant with Abram. You remember Abram? You might know him as Abraham. We're going to read a little bit here about Abram and what happens to him, because God created a covenant with him. He created a partnership. They made a pact. They made a deal. There was something. And there's always, notice this, anytime God makes something, he's gonna give you something. There's going to be something you're going to receive. This is not just a deal for the sake of it. He wants to partner with you so he can take your life to a new level. Okay? He wants to partner with you so he can heal you, or so he can transform your life, so he can give you an incredible career, an incredible life blessing. You're not just partnering for the sake of it. It's not just like, okay, we're partnered because I saw somebody else partner with God, so now I'm partnered with them. Woo! We're all partners. No, there's a reason. There's a reason behind it. He's doing this with a purpose. And you're going to get a sense of this. I want you to see this in your life as I'm reading about Abram. Create a covenant with God. This is Genesis 17 I'm reading. He's been partnered with God for a while now already. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Ah, here's the first thing. He's partnered with God, Abram. He can now be blameless, without fault. Meaning he can be righteous. He can be in right standing with God. Meaning mistakes and faults and things that he has had are going to be taken care of. Why? Because if God is perfect and I'm imperfect and I partner with somebody that's perfect, I get to take partnership in their perfection. If I'm all in, I get to use perfection. Now, if I keep bailing out, then it's my imperfection that I get to use. I don't like that. I don't like that. But if we stay there with God in our covenant, in our partnership, the pact, the deal we made, the contract, we get to use the perfection. We get to use that in our life. I like that, right? Wouldn't you like to use that? So he says, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. What does that mean? Multiply you exceedingly. He is saying, you're going to have increase. Increase, and he's not specific, but I think he's talking about increase everything. Your finances. Abram had herds, so I'm thinking his cattle, his goats, his camels, all multiplying and increasing. His gold, his silver, multiplying and increasing. Okay, so when you're partnering with God, you get to have that too. You get to have increase. I will multiply you exceedingly. Exceedingly. Not just a little bit. Not just a little bit. He's going to multiply you in a supernatural way. He's going to bring you great things. Skip down to verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Down to verse 8, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be your God. Down to verse 10, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child shall be circumcised. Ooh, circumcised. Okay, there's a little commitment there. You shall all be circumcised, male childs. Now, what he's asking there, he's asking a commitment. You can't go back on that, can you? You can't say I do today and I don't tomorrow on that one. That's a big one. When you say I do to that one, you gotta be ready. You gotta be like, okay, I'm ready for that. Don't worry, I got good news for you on that one a little bit later here, so don't squirm too much. But what it's making you're making that commitment to be partnered with God. Now, God made several promises to Abraham now. He's changed. He's going to be the father of nations. He's going to have many descendants as the stars of the sky, as the dust of the earth. God was using all kinds of analogies to try to give Abraham a picture of how much he was going to increase him. He was rich beyond belief, but he was being multiplied. Kings were going to come from him. So he was going to raise up the people, the descendants of Abraham would be raised up exceedingly also. Because you can't be a king and live in the back alley homeless. You can't be a king out there. If you're a king, you've got to have great possessions. Probably need a palace, I would think, of some kind, you know. You've got to have resources if you're going to be a king. You've got to have armies if you're going to be a king. So he was multiplying them exceedingly. Not just Abraham, but everybody that followed Abraham would now be multiplied and increased in great ways. Think about your partnership with God. God wants to multiply you exceedingly. God wants to increase you beyond belief. He wants to make you great. He does need a little commitment. A little commitment there. But there's good news. Let me go down here. Because I want to talk about, we've been talking about the covenant that God created with Noah and Abraham, but we need to switch a little bit. There's something called the New Covenant. The new covenant is pretty cool because the old covenant, there was a lot of things we had to do. We had to put ourselves through some physical pain, circumcision. Luckily, we had it done young enough we can't remember. But we also had to always be bringing, perpetually, we had to be bringing offerings to God, perpetually, continually, all the time, to show I'm still on board. Yes, I still do. Yes. I'm still bringing the best that I got. So you're bringing the sheep, and you're bringing the goats, and you're bringing the bulls, and you're bringing the turtle doves and the pigeons, and you're bringing them all. You're bringing them to the altar of God to say, everything I've got is yours, God. We're partnered here. I'm in this 100%. I'm committed to you. No problem. And so in the old covenant, there was a lot of stuff we had to do. They were kept pretty busy. But the new covenant, the new covenant is interesting because let's read this in Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, now remember, Jeremiah is a prophet. He is a prophet of God. And he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judea. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. He's talking about when Moses brought them out of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them. We're talking about marriage. God is comparing himself to being the husband. He made a commitment. They're the bride. They made a commitment. They were married. That was the covenant. That was the partnership. He's comparing himself to a husband. And he says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. For the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more. The new covenant has something special. We receive written on our hearts his laws and on our minds. And all of the flaws and the mistakes, the iniquities, the sins, they're washed away. Remember what I said, we get to have his perfection. We get to have his perfection upon us. All the other stuff is taken out. Right? And now we know what he wants. We don't have to tell somebody else, hey, you're not doing the right thing. He's saying we don't have to teach her. Why? Because the Spirit of God is now on the inside. And that's the teacher. The Spirit of God, speaking from the inside, now can tell you what is right and what is wrong, and leads you to show you what you need to do and what you shouldn't do. And it teaches you what is God's way. The Spirit of God is inside of you, speaking to you when you have the new covenant. How do we get this new covenant? Let's read down here in Matthew 26, 27. This is Jesus speaking. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus is saying this. Take this cup. This is my blood. Remember, if we're going to make a covenant, there's got to be blood involved. Used to be the blood of animals. But now, this is the blood. God has given the sacrifice by coming down onto the earth as Jesus and giving it up, letting his blood be shed. So, and that blood was needed for us to create a pact, like blood brothers with God. We get to use that blood. And that was the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice, once it's made, you don't need other sacrifices. You don't need to take other animals. They're not as good as the blood of God. The blood of God is the ultimate sacrifice, and he brought the offering this time. We didn't have to bring it. He brought it. And now that he brought it, it's created a new covenant, a new partnership, a partnership where now the Spirit of God can dwell inside of us. It couldn't do that before. And the old covenant, one sacrifice wasn't enough. You had to bring 10 more. And next year, you had to bring more. And next year, next, and next, and next. And it never was enough. It just kind of temporary, kind of, you know, it's like a flood. You're putting a finger in the dike trying to stop the waters, and it's rolling over the top meanwhile. But it was what was required at that time. But now the new covenant, his blood is sufficient. His sacrifice is sufficient. One sacrifice for all time, so that we can now be partnered with God. God wants us to have that partnership. It says here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 8. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? He's talking about, let me read from the beginning, because he's talking about the two covenants. But if the ministry of death, that was the old covenant, written and engraved on stones, that's the Ten Commandments, was glorious. That was glorious. This is Paul speaking. It was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance. When Moses first spoke to God, and they wrote down the Ten Commandments on the stone, and he comes down the mountain, the people saw Moses' face glowing so bright. They couldn't look at it. It was so amazing. They couldn't look at it. So the old covenant had glory in it. There was brilliance in it. There was the power of God was in it. That they couldn't even look at it; it was so bright. So, if that was the case, which the glory was passing away—that's the old covenant. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? The new covenant is even more glorious. The light that is shining from the Lord is even greater in you. When we invite Jesus into our heart, we are saying, I do. We are saying, I create this partnership, God. God's waiting on us, remember. He's already done it. He's waiting for you to say, I do. He's waiting for you to say, I'm in this. And the minute you're in it, all the mistakes, all the faults, all the shortcomings are washed away. God remembers them no more. That's the new covenant. He doesn't remember it next year. You don't have to bring another sacrifice next year because he still remembers it. It's been washed away. He doesn't remember it anymore. You get to now walk around spotless, spot-free, because you have a partnership with God who's perfect. And you don't have to do the sacrifices now. And the blood has already been shed. And now we just have to be partners with God, hearing his Spirit speak to us and lead us. We want to be partners with God in that way. When we have it written in the hearts, we can now be led to greater heights. We're not limited by what someone else can tell us or teach us. The Spirit of God can take you anywhere and do anything with you. Say amen to that. Amen. The Spirit of God can change your life from the inside. There is no chain, there is no barrier, there is no wall, there is no habit, there is no addiction, there is no fault, there is no mistake, there is no person, there is nothing upon heaven or earth that can stop you because you have the Spirit of God on the inside.
Amen.
When you invite Jesus into your heart, you get the new covenant. You're partnered with God. You've got all his resources. There is no lack anymore in your life.
Amen.
There is no lack anymore in your life. You have abundance now. And when you begin to see that on the inside with your spiritual eyes and walk by faith, when you begin to see it in that way, now you start to see it manifest in your life. You begin to realize that I have infinite resources. I have power over sickness, meaning I can stay healthy. I have blessing. I have love. I have goodness upon my life. You begin to look at yourself and feel, I feel good. I like myself. I like who God created here. I like this a lot. I enjoy it. And that's what you want when you got the Spirit of God on the inside. That's what God is creating. He's creating that partnership so you can go to a new level. The new covenant is already yours. I know that most of you have invited Jesus into your heart already. You already have that partnership with God. I want you to know how important partnership is. Because God didn't just partner with you. The minute you partnered with God, you partnered with every single other person who was partnered with God. Meaning, you have the resources and the talents and the gifts of every single other person who is partnered with God. Excuse me. You have that in your life right now. Everybody sitting here in this room who has invited Jesus into their heart and created that partnership with God. This is how the partnership program works. You're partnered with him. You get all his resources. You get all the benefits from that. You get to use that for your life. But you're also partnered with everybody sitting beside you. You've got their resources. You've got their talents. You've got their gifts in your life. That's why we want to be open and sharing what we're going through. Because the guy sitting next to you might be the one that's got the answer because God has already prepared them and provided them for this moment to help you to heal and change your life. That person sitting next to you could be the one. But if you don't tell anybody, then they don't know. You know, they don't know. But that's why he has us partnering. So you're partnered together as well. Each one of you here at Golden Heart is partnered together. You have partnered together with Golden Heart. So you're partnered with God, and because God is working through Golden Heart, you've also partnered with Golden Heart. You partnered with everybody here. Golden Heart also partners with other ministries around the world. And when we partner with other ministries, guess what? You now have a covenant with them. You have an agreement with them. You don't have to shed any blood, though, because it's all under the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus. It's all under that same blood. You get to be partners with them, too, now. And so you reap the benefits of their gifts and their talents. Start to see how big this is. If you can start understanding, partnerships is the main thing that God is doing. He is bringing people together, continually bringing people together. Why? To fulfill the kingdom of God. He has already provided all the gifts, all the talents. What you need to be doing is using your gifts and talents. Use what you've been given and put it out there. Is there anybody that needs this? You know? And also put out there, if you need something, if you need help on something, put it out there. Why? Because more than likely, God has already put the person right next to you that has that ability. They put them right there beside you. If you can continue to do that, that's the way God planned it. He planned to have you helping one another, working together, working the works of the kingdom together to fulfill his plan, to finish it, to bring it to life here on earth. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So as you go forth, I want you to keep thinking about the partnership that you have created with God. And I want you to know, look around, take a look around this room, that you are partnered with every one of these people. You guys are partnered together. Be ready with your gifts and talents, but also be ready if there's something you have a need in your life and need some help. Put it out there. Put it out there so that somebody else can use their gifts. It's not just me and Liza. It's everybody. You guys have gifts that I don't got. And when we use them, now the kingdom of God is fulfilled. Start understanding. I've got the infinite resources of God on my side. The infinite resources of God are working through people on this earth. The infinite resources of God are working through people on this earth. He's going to bring supernatural increase in your life, but he's also going to bring people with incredible talent and gifts. He wants you to succeed, and he has already provided the way. It's already there. And all we need to do is come out of our shells, come out of what we think is right, and now begin to share where I'm going. This is my dream. This is where I'm trying to get. This is where God is showing me. And now let other people assist you in that. And you assist them in that too. Because we're all going to get there together. We're going to reach the goal of where God has taken you. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to continue talking, not just about partnership, but where we're going, where Golden Heart is going, and how we're going to get there. And we're going to get there together. We're all going to become successful, blessed, happy, healthy, because that's the will of God. Say amen to that.
Amen.